things are abuzz on Pestergen Podcast. This week, Jenny and Candace welcome special guest Ron Jones, owner of Coast Pest Control in Mississippi, a true pro who's built his business from the ground up and isn't afraid to get his hands dirty in the crawl space. From rodent-proofing disasters and sweltering southern heat to Roll Tide pride and building community, this episode is crawling with stories, laughs, and real pest control insight. So suit up, grab your sprayer, and get ready, because this one's going to be unbelievably good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pestergen Podcast. My name is Jenny, the Hobbit of the Midwestern region with Trio Pest Control, and I'm here with my beautiful, lovely Candace from the... What region do I say? I always say Midwest.
Pacific
region. How are you, beautiful?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I live literally like 8 miles away from the Pacific Ocean, so...
It's
kind of nice and it kind of sucks all at the same time. I'm doing good. We had to do a pretty good rodent seal on a foundation that I don't know where the foundation went. It's just this giant gaping hole. And it's like the front and then around the corner, not halfway down, but there's a big old hole there. So the front, you know, and we told the guy, you're not making it structurally sound. We'll make it rodent proof, but you need to get it fixed properly. We hardware clothed over it because that's about all we could goddamn do. And then around the side, and then starts to drill into the foundation, and he puts his drill bit to the foundation, doesn't pull the trigger, and it crumbled. Salt air literally crumbles our foundations, but it's also like probably 150-year-old foundations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like sand. Like, he tapped it with his finger and it started to crumble down. So we had to unfortunately kind of foam the hardware cloth to it to make it stay.
Damn.
And we told him, we're like, we will fix this to make it look better, but this is what we can do for right now. But it's rodent proof right now.
Yay.
And that there's excluder mixed in with that foam, and we've never had an issue with the foam excluder foam. We call it our rodent proofing sandwich. It does work. They'll chew the foam and they hit that excluder and they're done. They're gone.
Yep.
Deuces and I'm out.
Well, that sounds like fun.
But yeah, it was loads of fun. And then crawl space doors that were stupid. Smashed my fingers underneath a washer I was screwing into the crawl space door to put hardware cloth at the bottom of it to like give it that extra resistance, and the screw's not going in, it's not going in, and then all of a sudden it just like slams through it, and my fingers were under the washer, so they got caught between hardware cloth and the washer. And luckily my brain was still operational and I just reversed the drill and pulled it back up, and I was like, god damn it. It hurt so bad.
I bet. Damn, girl. That's right. Crazy. This week for me, as you guys saw from my videos and stuff, I had a lot of bee jobs, a lot of stinging insect shit going on, and very, very adventurous week. One of the days that I did that hornet removals was in the beginning of the day. I serviced a retired Delta airline pilot's home, and it was a lot of fun going back and forth with him on his thing. And then at the end of the day, I serviced a firefighter's home. Nice. And he had a company come out twice to remove this crazy active yellow jacket nest in the crawl space, which everybody who sees the pictures is like, wow, that's a big crawl space. That must have been easy. No, the opening to the crawl space was on the other side of the house, and it was small from there to that. So anyway, he was a firefighter. So he had bought a bee suit and he has a respirator because he's a firefighter. So he was like, girl, I'm going in there with you. And I was like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. We go in, we roll all the way over to that bigger area. I take it out. But that was probably one of the cooler experiences where like a customer that was actually cool joined me for the service.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then one thing here on the Pestergen Podcast we talk a lot about is sayings that customers say that drive us nuts, right? Like, do you treat uncles too when you're treating aunts? Yeah. So I asked him as a firefighter, what is something they constantly hear that like makes their eyes roll to. And he said it's not like a phrase or anything, but it's when people call them to get cats out of trees.
I was going to ask if it was something about the cats in the trees.
He said that just recently somebody called their sergeant and was like bitching and complaining. And he had to explain to them, like, we don't do that. We don't
The
do
cat
that.
Will come down, I promise.
Yes, yes. But very eventful week, but...
I thought that was their primary job.
Yeah, right? Just that was another thing he said was sleeping. I was like, so you just sleep all day and then go get cats out of trees, right? Yeah. And he looked at me like, no. But without further ado, our guest of the night, the evening. Well, yes, it's evening for all of
it
us.
It is evening, so. Yes.
Yes. Ron, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been an eventful day, but we are here.
So I see you're wearing an Alabama shirt. I see on all the time on your Facebook, the Roll Tide. Now, me and Jenny were talking about this on our last episode. Now, we know the Roll Tide is for Alabama College. Is it, and I'm guessing it's for a specific college, yes?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, is it, and because I always hear it during like football season. Now, is it only football related or is it for like all their sports, like basketball and everything else too?
Great question. So the term for the University of Alabama, which is located in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which is kind of central-ish. So the term Roll Tide means several different things. And I believe ESPN came out with a commercial several years ago. And it showed just different people, like a montage of people. And there was a cop giving a guy a ticket and handed it to him. He said, Roll Tide. And the guy said, Roll Tide. And a guy opened in the door for someone at a restaurant. And they said, Roll Tide. And then at a funeral, in that commercial, they said he was a good man. Roll Tide. So Roll Tide is a salutation. It's a greeting. It's an ending. It has to do with the University of Alabama. It has to do with the red clay or red dirt. University of Alabama has played on several different fields. They play at their own field now in their own stadium. They had a rain game at one time, and they were all full of mud. And one of the commentators had mentioned that they look like a big crimson tide, okay? So it's the Alabama Crimson Tide is the name, and then the Roll Tide is derived from that. And I'll confuse you even more. Our mascot is a tusked elephant.
Yes.
So, and our little baby cousin school across in the plains, which is Auburn University, it's not that we don't like them. They're just our little brothers, and they play in the SEC, which is the conference that they play in. But their battle cry or their saying is called War Eagle, and we're in the same state. So their mascot is a tiger, and they have a bald eagle that flies, one of the brown ones, not the all white ones, I guess. Excuse me with the different, but it's like more of a golden eagle. And before every home game, he flies out into the crowd, and it's actually pretty moving. I really don't have that problem with some mascots from my rival school, but they'll say War Eagle. So if someone, Jenny was an Alabama fan and Candace was an Auburn fan, Jenny would say, hey, Candace, Roll Tide. And then Candace would say, better not tell me that, War Eagle. And you can insert damn in between each of those words.
That's awesome.
I'm very fortunate. My son, his mother and I raised a really good son, and he was able to get a presidential merit scholarship to the University of Alabama. So I not only do I attend games, but I also pay them, and my kid goes to school there, and he loves it. He absolutely loves it. It's a very, very small town school. And as opposed to, he was going to go to Vanderbilt. He got offered to go to Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt is in Nashville, which Nashville is in Tennessee. And it's a very metropolitan area. And he just didn't want to really be a part of that. He wanted the small town vibe, you know, where everything was that way. So people always say, well, why are you from Mississippi? And those are mostly LSU fans and Ole Miss or Mississippi State. Why are you an Alabama fan? I'm like, well, I'm putting one through Alabama right now, a child through there. What are you doing at those schools? No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. That's
but that's
awesome.
That's my love. That's my love and affection for Alabama. And we are staunch supporters. This week is what we affectionately known as Tennessee Hate Week. We are playing the University of Tennessee, And at our house last year, Tennessee beat us and dethroned the kings of the SEC. And then they destroyed their stadium and took their goalposts out of the ground and threw them in the Tennessee River. And yeah. Anyhow, so they're playing at our house. I'm not going to be there. We're not going. We've done two games this year, and it's a lot. We were kind of talking about parking a second ago. So parking to park on campus and the soccer fields, which you have to take a bus to get to the close to the stadium, not to the stadium, close to it, is $56 a day on game day at a public university. And you got to buy parking through SeatGeek. So you can't just stroll up because the entire campus, I don't know if you ladies have known this or if you have been to one or have anybody there or at a campus, but 90% of college universities are cashless. You could have $10,000 in cash and they don't take it. They just tell them we don't do cash. Cash nowhere. Yep. Anywhere.
That's rough. Man. Yeah.
Crazy.
That is crazy. We had a guest on a couple months ago, Alex Calder. I think several times in her episode she said Roll Tide.
Yes. Yeah, she's nice. Actually in Mobile, Alabama?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I lived in Mobile for a little while. So Mobile is on the coast. Mm-hmm. Mobile is right down there where I live. It's about an hour and 20 minutes from where I live. So Mobile, New Orleans, those are the two cities that you can kind of travel between. So if your little city doesn't have, or your Home Depot or your Academy Sports doesn't have it, they'll say, well, we have one in Mobile if you want to drive over, or we have one in Slidell or New Orleans. So it's kind of, they're close.
Yeah. There we go. That's awesome. Okay. So the Pastor Jim podcast is becoming a Roll Tide podcast. That's right. That's right.
I'll get you guys some swag. Get you some swag.
Yeah.
That's better than the Oregon Ducks. So I'm okay.
Yeah. I was about to say the big controversy here is Ohio versus Michigan. And it's O-H-I-O. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, ours is the Ducks and the Beavers.
I heard a different one. I thought it was, don't give a damn for the whole state of Michigan. I'm from Ohio. Go Bucks! Have you heard that one?
No, yeah. But
I think I have from I think it was Tater. I've heard it from him.
Yeah.
Because he's originally from Ohio.
Yeah.
We have those funny sayings too, but those little songs that you sing.
Yeah. I'm from Ohio, but I work in Indiana, so they're all the same. But
yeah.
Indiana has a massive college football team this year. They're ranked way up there in the top 10. So they've got a lot going on. I'm sorry. You'll have to stop me if I get on college football. I am a huge college football fan.
That's awesome.
I used to be a huge Saints fan, and I just kind of got out of pro ball. The whole pro aspect was it got kind of old to me. So I like the kids, and there's actually a kid that goes to college at UA that plays for UA, and his name is Brayson Hubbard, and he is from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, which is my wife's hometown, consequently, which is not terribly far from where we are. It's about a 15-20 minute drive, but he went to Ocean Springs High School, and he plays defense for the Alabama Crimson Tide, and I have a jersey with Big Bray's number on it and his last name, and we represent the local, and that's what I'm about.
Yep. That is awesome.
That's awesome, though. Yeah. Yeah, I prefer watching, like, the kids, not pro, of anything. It's just stupid anymore. Like, I used to, because I have an older brother, so he watches all the sports ever. So I'd watch with him. But, yeah, now I'm just like, meh.
Yeah. Yep. Well, so, Ron, how did you get into pest control?
Cool question. So I was working in a family business. My dad and his sister brothers had been in the same family business. That was the moving and storage industry. Okay. So they did a lot of contracts with the military and did storage and moving and different things like that. And that's pretty much what my father and mother did all the years that I was growing up. They had their own company and big warehouses and things like that. Well, things really changed like they do in the government, like we're kind of experiencing kind of right now with the shutdown. That's just a fact, not a political thing. Unfortunately, we have people that are dealing. I have one of my customers that are dealing with the government shutdown. He is a Air Force guy that used to be in the Air Force, because we have two large bases here, an Air Force base called Keesler Air Force Base. And we have a Navy CB, which is they have the They're the builders, the constructors of the Navy. And so I don't know if you guys know this, but air traffic controllers are considered the top of essential, and they have to go to work whether they're being paid or not.
Ouch.
So they are included because they're a federal job. But yeah, so they don't get paid when the government shut down. I don't know why it's shut down. It's none of my business. They'll figure it out. But that's not the reason for that. I just wanted to tell that there are people out there that are, you know, could be having some issues. So God bless them, and I hope things get better for them.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway, I'm over here acting like a politician.
No, you're
no. So I did that, and things changed, and my dad decided to sell his you know, all of his equipment and his trucks and things like that, and he was going to retire, and I was kind of left with nothing to do. I kind of did it all there. I did it everything from, you know, driving trucks, doing this, doing that, all over the place. And, you know, it's the family business, and I was used to it, and I didn't think it'd ever go away. And so I was looking for something to do, and I had a friend of mine. She texted me, and she said, hey, I know this guy that works for Company A, and they are looking for someone. And anyhow, you should talk to him. So I went in, and I gave him a call, and he said, you know, of course, all the online, do this online, do that online, all that whole, you know, that whole walk the line thing. I went in, I got the job. Okay. Never been in pest control in my life. I had my little white uniform with my red epaulettes on the side of it and all that good stuff and my little bump cap with the white hat and truck. And I was ready to go. And I was there for about 6 to 8 weeks. And I got a phone call one morning before I went into work and said, hey, I got to talk to you. Same guy that hired me. And I said, okay. And he said, you know, I hired you. I don't know how to tell you, but our expansion route that we had hired you for is not materializing as fast as we intended it to. And we're laying you off. So there was another guy that worked there. Still know. His name is Arthur. And he continued to work there. And I went to work for a couple of smaller companies at that time. And it was not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Not a lot of fun. These guys did not respect the same things that I did, and they were there to collect a fee and collect production, and that's where you got to get it done, and we all know that. However, we'll move along. So I was there, and I left both of these other places. I left one and I was at the other. I just left it, and I got a call from the same guy that hired me and said, hey, guess what? And I said, I don't know if I want to talk to you anymore, you know.
Right.
And he said, no, you won't believe it. This guy that's been here for a while and you never think, he quit. And I've got a route opening. Do you remember everything? I was like, yeah, it was only like, you know, 2 months ago. I can remember it. So they came to my house. They dropped off my truck, had my phone in the console, said, log in, you start tomorrow. And I went, and I was, again, not to tap myself on the back, I did really good with it. I learned the business. You know, not only do they have a really, you know, and a lot of people attest to this on the cemetery or other places, you know, these big companies like them and others, they have these enormous training programs, and they're really, really good. And if you pay attention, but I just had this idea that I wanted to know more. I wanted to soak up more than I possibly could, because I am a guy that is successful through doing. And if I can do it, and I do it, and I teach myself even the things that I may have missed or through others, then I'm going to do it. And so I led their region in technician sales for about 6 months. And that was through mosquito and ant services and just everything, because I figured it out. I said, for me to earn a better living, then I'm going to have to do some selling. And in order to sell, I believe that you got to be able to talk to people, because when you go in there, they're going to ask you questions. And if all you know is what the name of the service is and how much it costs and you're going to charge them, well, then when they start having questions, they're not going to believe you and they're not going to feel comfortable. So I needed to know. Mm-hmm. So I looked up all these products and I saw what it was for and what it actually did and how you can apply them different ways. So I did it, and I was very successful at it for a few years. Things change with that large box retailer with the diamond. A couple of guys had left, a couple of upper management, like regional level and things like that. And they signed on with another company. They wanted me to come in and help them grow. And so I did. And I joined at that time was a small company, which is now kind of a mid-level company. They're rated on the top 100 somewhere. I don't remember. So I started with them as a technician, changed my whole philosophy on pest control, started learning what I actually needed to learn as opposed to just what someone was throwing at me and saying, here, use this. Well, why do we use that and not this? And why do I do that and not this? And so I kind of learned that, and I was with them. And the last 2 years that I was there, I was promoted to a service manager. I became fully licensed in the state of Mississippi. I know that licensing requirements are different in different states. So I know that, and I don't want to bore you with that, but in the state of Mississippi, as well as the state of Alabama, you either have to have a four-year degree or you have to have 4 years practical experience just to give an application to take the state exam. So if you have a four-year degree that has something to do with entomology, then you can take the state exam. If not, you have to wait 4 years and you have to be an apprentice in your field for that long, and then you can take the test. So I took it, I passed, I'm licensed in WDO, which of course is, you know, termites, any wood destroying organism, carpenter ants, beetles, things like that. Uh-huh. General pest control. So in Mississippi, general pest control encompasses a few different. It encompasses invertebrate, which are rodents. It also, of course, it also encompasses mosquito. So I don't have to have a separate test for everything. It's kind of all in one. So general pests. The only thing that I need an extra license for is if I wanted to kill weeds, you know, the whole lawn thing. Right, herbicides. Correct. Thank you. I drew a blank.
No problem.
Or fumigation. And I have no aspirations of getting into fumigation. That is a monster bear all in itself. So anywho, so I was with them. My owner retired. Okay. So the guy that originally hired me when I started, we started out with three of us. There was the owner, there was another guy that was there, and there was me. And when I left, we had 16 technicians, including myself, my service manager partner, the owner, salespeople, things like that. So we grew from three little old people in a business that to having 16 technicians. And that's a lot of growth.
Yeah.
And we had, when my owner sold his shares of the company back to his business partners in Utah, they wanted their own guy there. Because my owner was moving on. He dissolved his partnership. He's retiring. He's going to be with his grandkids. He doesn't want anything to do with the business anymore. He's 70 some odd years old. You know, he's gone. So, and things like that, just like in sports, owners want new owners, new general managers, new things like that, want to hire their own coaches. And so I was essentially told, thank you for your service. Here's some severance. Here's some things, but we're going to part ways. And I said, okay. So after that, I said, you know, I can go and work for another company and make more millionaires out of these guys, or I could go on my own. And something clicked with me one day and I said, I want to go on my own. And it was I won't kid you. It was very scary buying equipment and doing this and doing that and all these other things. One of the things that I did, which I do not regret because I'm going to write my own retirement now. I'm 46 years old, but I cashed in two 401ks, and that gave me a lot of operating income because I had a 401k from the Red Diamond Company and I had 401k from the Wire Company. That's what my last one was. So anyway, cashed them in, bought all my equipment, set up my accounts, got insured, bonded, started making relationships. And I've been going since then. One day I reached out. So how I got with you guys or got in touch with you guys, and I don't want to steal anybody's thunder, Jenny, but no. I noticed Jenny was posting some things on at a conference she went to, and it was some really cool stuff. And I have a lot of friends and other people in the area that I'm friends with, but I don't really co-mingle with the other people in my area. We don't really... I know you guys probably have good relationships with certain one of them, and I do too, a little bit, but that, you know, being an owner operator in my business, we don't commingle. I know Jenny probably knows every pest control technician within 20 square miles of where she operates. And that's great. That's a great asset for you. But me, a lot of guys don't want to talk to me because it's like, hey, I saw you with that guy talking to him. What are you doing over there with the coast guy? So anyway, so I wanted to get and know some of my peers. And and outside, and I messaged Jenny one day, and my exact words were to her, "Hey, I'd like to be friends with you. If you, you know, I'm looking for people to expand my network and other professionals. I'm not a weirdo. I'm married. Yeah. I'm not trying to be your boyfriend or something, you know, because people are weird these days, yeah. right?
They very and well can be.
Yeah, I'm very upfront. I was like, look, I'm married. I'm not a weirdo. I'm not trying to, you know, anything like that. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one thing led to another. And she said, well, why don't you come on? Let's give a little conversation, talk with us. And I looked up the podcast and yeah. So my company is called Coast, just Coast, not Coast Al or Gulf Coast, because I am on the Gulf of Mexico and it's just Coast. So when I was growing up, a lot of people from Louisiana moved over because they wanted to give their kids like a little bit slower pace and schools and things like that. And they want to be in the city and, or they retired over this way. And they would always say, you know, we live on the coast mm-hmm. and there's coast this and coast that, because we are the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And so I just said, it just sticks because people always say, are you going to be on the coast today? And the coast encompasses a lot. So just to let you know, it doesn't mean it's just a, you know, a mile off the water. Yes, literally, I can drive down to the Gulf of Mexico. Now, the part where I live is not beautiful, like Panama City Beach or Pensacola or Destin, Florida, and all of those different areas where they have all the Emerald Coast is what they call that, the Emerald Green Water. Ours is not. We have a lot of barrier islands that are out there that help protect us during hurricanes. And you get a lot of that ebb and flow makes the water kind of look brackish and dirty. And it really kind of is brackish. Uh-huh. So, yeah. So our water is not the swim-worthy water. But you could dip a fishing pole in there and have a great time.
There you go.
Dude, if me and you could be any more, like, have the same similarities. Because, like, I tell people I live on the Pacific Coast. And they're like, oh, you must have crystal blue waters. And that, because they're thinking of, like, Southern California. And I'm like, no, man, my water's, like, brownish gray. It's, like, 30 degrees. Don't go swimming in it. We have horrible riptides. No.
So.
That's funny.
I wanted to tell you before I forgot, because I will, my mother, God bless her, my mother's deceased, so is my father, but my mother, she has a sister that lives in the Portland area. She still does. I don't know. It's probably the outskirts. She doesn't live in the city, but you know, people kind of generalize, right?
Oh, yeah.
But my mom went down there probably, you know, several years back, and they did the whole Cannon Beach and the haystacks and things. And, I guess, isn't that what they're called? Haystacks, or they call them haystacks, or needles or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah.
Those big things that protrude up through the water that are like, yeah. It's like straw or something.
Yeah.
And she did that whole thing and she absolutely loved it because, you know, we don't live in water where you get whales and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We get dolphins.
Yeah.
But not, you know, you don't get those temperatures for whales. So I thought that was my little tribute to there. My mother absolutely loved that area and she always talked about it, you know, when she went and visited. That was a big trip, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's a long way away.
Yes. Well, even from Portland to the coast is a trip in itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause like
yeah.
I was just saying before the show, like from where I am to get to Portland is a 4-hour drive. Cause it's 2 hours to I-5 and then 2 hours up I-5. To even yeah. get there. So
yeah
it's a drive in itself. Yeah, I once again, just like you, I don't live in a big city. I'm not really next to a big city. My closest one is like 2 hours away, and that's Eugene,
right. So, Eugene, gotcha.
Yes, but yeah, that's like the closest big city. Like the best thing we have here is Walmart.
And that's,
we did get a Harbor Freight recently, and I think there's a Tractor Supply getting put in.
Really, like, and truly, what more do you need, though? I mean, you got a Harbor Freight, you got a Tractor Supply, and a Walmart. I mean, it's like you could build a civilization from scratch with those three stores. So
Well, the Tractor Supply's not here yet. It's still getting built. It was
I love
a big
Tractor
lot.
Supply. I love going in Tractor Supply and being a small business owner. I love going in there with the Lowe's app open and scanning their stuff and being like, hey, this is $5 cheaper at Lowe's. Can you match it?
That's awesome.
It's a lot easier to get in and out of Harbor Freight than it is, a Tractor Supply than it is Lowe's and Slap Barber.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful area, though, guys.
Yeah. No, it's nice here, and we have rarely like just mild temperatures. It never gets too hot or too cold, which kind of sucks all at the same time sometimes. Sometimes I want it a little bit warmer. Sometimes I would like it a little bit colder to actually get snow. We get snow maybe like once every 5 years, if we're lucky.
That's a great point. So it gets devastatingly hot during the summer here in the subtropics. Heat indices are generally in the 110 to 115. And it can be very, and I get, you know, people say you get used to it, but you really kind of do.
Yeah.
You know, well, you just get used to being wet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're wet with sweat. Your shirt's constantly wet. Your pants in the back are wet until you get them dried out.
You sweat. You know,
your underoos are wet, so they're sticking all to your body, right? And you're trying to stay dry as best as possible to make it through the day, but you essentially feel like you're in a pressure cooker.
Yep.
All the time, you know. Yeah. So, but it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived in southern Oklahoma when I was a kid. So many, many, many moons ago, but we only lived there for a year, but it was still in that time. I remember it did snow when I was there, and like the whole damn city shut down. It was great. We were like, what the hell happened?
Yeah. No, you're right. It's the humidity here with the Gulf and all the water and natural water sources we have. The humidity really kills you. So the hardest part is coming home from work, going and jumping in the shower, cleaning all up, shaving up, getting, well, for guys, you know, ladies also, you shave your underarms and things like that. So, but, and then getting dressed real nice to go out for a family function after work or for a dinner. And then you walk outside right after you got fresh clothes on and you're taking another bath and you're just like, I'm dirty again. I'm just from walking to the car, I'm soaked.
Yeah. So
it feels like you're constantly taking a bath.
Ugh, I hate that when you're working too, because like it's like by your second stop, you're like, I want a shower.
You do. And yep. I try to carry an extra uniform and I wear those Under Armour little shirts to try to help wick the moisture.
Yeah.
But I mean, you stink, you know? Yeah. I mean, guys do. Girls probably don't stink when they sweat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
I mean, but no, we don't.
New. My favorite part of the day is during those hot summer months is just peeling my shirt off. And even though I'm dirty, just putting on a clean t-shirt and not having to feel that moisture hugging me the whole time.
That's my
favorite part of the day. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, anyhow, I don't know how people that have to wear more clothing do it, but they do. But it's I try to, you know, I wear arm sleeves. I don't know if you guys do.
Yeah. Jenny does.
I do because I try to do. Yeah. I try to stay cooler, and with the long sleeve shirts and, you know, obviously I'm wearing pants and boots. That's going to be a constant anytime where I go, not just for chemical, for safety in general, but I elect for the short sleeves because I always rolled my sleeves up and always had these big rolls of sleeves. Right. And so I said, look, I'll just order short sleeve shirts and I'll get the arm sleeves from Amazon and I'll pop those on and I can take them off. And they're cheap enough where you could buy a new pack every month if you wanted to. They're only like $5 for a set of like, you know, 3 or 4 sets. But, I mean, they're super cheap.
Yeah. That's not bad. Yeah, we wear long sleeves, but I don't know. Because, like, here, because, like, I don't know, about this time of the year until, I don't know, May or June, it just starts pissing rain. Oh, yeah, we wear our long sleeves. And then if we are hot during the summer, we do the roll up. But, like, I do get the bulge there, but I roll them neat enough that it's a nice flat bulge. It's not this, like, bulge.
Right.
Like, my husband will get that because he'll get it going too fast. So it's, like, this bulge of material, and then he gets pissed off because it's hanging funny. And I'm like, let me fix it. But, no, mine will be, like, an actual cuff up here. Yeah. And then if I don't get it right and it's, like, right at the top of my elbow, it'll piss me off. Because it's like not up high enough. So I'm like, got to unroll it and do it again. But they always come down during treatment, or if like I'm in a crawl space, so I'm not sticking my arms, bare arms and stuff. No.
No. So I don't have a military background, but I grew up around a lot of military people. Mm-hmm. And you always see the, you know, the soldiers or the sailors or Marines, and they always have that real nice cuff. Well, they fold their shirts before they put them on. Mm-hmm. And that's what I used to do. I used to fold my sleeves up before I put them on, and I'd pop them and make them nice and tight and where it looked good. So when I pulled my shirt over my head, you know, button up shirt, I was lazy. I just unbuttoned too and throw it over. And then it was nice and neat right there. And another thing it did is it gave you a little spot for one of these.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We know that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Gave you a spot to wipe your face
the
off.
Sweat. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So I'm going to start getting those like workout wristbands to.
Right. So Candace doesn't really have a down season.
Nope.
You don't either, do you? So, when you were like on my Facebook post, when you were like, how are you getting so many stinging insect jobs?
Yeah.
Part of why I'm getting them is because we do have a like down season in the Midwest. So does that affect you guys? Do you have a down season like that?
Some companies do. And so I generally on my pest control, I do not sell quarterly. And if whoever sells quarterly, I am not knocking you on selling quarterly. I am not saying it's a bad idea. I do every other month, every 2 months or EOMs, whichever you want to call it. I do have quarterly services that some places want. It's primarily rentals that are managed through a place, and they just want you to go there and provide maintenance and hotspot issues every quarter. So I do every other month, and my pricing reflects that too. And a lot of companies don't want to do every other month because they lose the ability to gain more customers, because you can have more volume when you're doing quarterlies, right? Because you're spacing your customers out over three. But I do have some. So to answer your question about the downtime, you know, the only downtime that we really have is, you know, sometimes new services will stop coming in. But the thing about what we deal with down here in the South, you know, the Southern United States, the deep South, right? Because some people will say the South is like Virginia and South Carolina, and they kind of are, but not like we're down South, right? The temperatures, fire ants are going to slow down. You guys may not deal with fire ants. Fire ants make the mounds, and they deal with that, and they're real stingy and do a lot of different things. And right after a good hard rain that floods them out, they're going to throw all that dirt up and make a big fire ant mound. And for people that don't know what they are, they're imported. A lot of the things that we get here in the South, we have to thank the shipping channels for importing all of these different insects and different things. So we deal with termites. So termites here never take a rest. And we also deal with, primarily I do, I don't do any dry wood treatment. I refer those guys to fumigations that have boxes that fumigate the box. They put stuff in it. They got a bed or something. I don't do dry woods, but I do Eastern Subterranean, which we call natives. And we deal with a lot of Formosan, a lot of big colonies of Formosan. So those guys don't take any days off. And they, you know, I have to tell people all the time, the first thing that we do when we get into is termite is, well, I don't see any evidence that I have termites. Okay. So I'm thinking check mark. I need to talk about that. And the second thing is when it comes to, well, it's getting cooler, so they're not going to be as active. And that's just not true. Not in our area. They're going to keep foraging and foraging. They never take a day off. So we kind of, you know, those are kind of some of the kind of, I hear that thing. I don't see any evidence. And I have to tell people, you know, well, Here's the thing. You can only see 20% of the house when you're inspecting it. I do wood destroying insect reports. You can only see 20% of the house. You can't see behind the walls and the sheetrock. And if you've got a pier style home, you can't see down in there. They can come up through cracks in the slab, expansion joint. You know, you guys know all the things, right? Really? So it's not necessarily, so you have to train these folks that, you know, first of all, you got to gain their trust, because the next thing out of your mouth is going to be, you know, you need to take care of your home and protected against that. But so those things are always foraging. We have a lot of bug activity that's always going to happen. So we don't get a big downtime. Now, one thing that I have heard that some guys will do, some smaller companies, to keep from having to lay off their technicians, they'll have them go out and deliver firewood, or they'll have them go out and hang Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. Some of them have the Christmas light service where they buy all the lights and you call them over, they put them up, take them down, the whole nine yards. Or they'll do, you know, this and that and the other. Right. I've been very fortunate in my career that I've always stayed busy.
That's so good. Yeah. That is awesome. Because that's something I have ran into in my career, being in the Midwest is, you know, we get hard winters. So the first year in pest control, I had to take up a paper route to make ends meet and just things like that. That is a perk to living in a climate where y'all always got some sort of activity going on, which we get rodents year round and stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, things definitely die down here.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I know the first time I heard the term slow season, I was like, what the fuck's a slow season? What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
So then, yeah, Brandon had to explain to me that not everybody gets to work all year round. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. Like, it literally does. But
yeah,
I mean, yeah. I had no prior experience prior to this. So
right,
I learned it all on the fly.
And that's why I'm glad I'm with Trio now, because I was forewarned that we do take a lot of snow days here, which is a good thing, because companies I worked for before, we'd get like 2 feet of snow and they'd be like, all right, we're sending you out to play bumper cars with the company vehicles. Go! And it's like, dude,
yeah,
why? This could, like, I like to work, but at the same time, no.
I also like to be in one piece.
Exactly, yeah, because people be crazy out there, especially now that I'm in Indianapolis. I'm glad they do that, because people don't know how to drive here anyway. But
dude, our first like heavy rain of the year, we had like a few days ago, and I swear to God, everybody forgot how to drive. Like, people are sliding. I'm going, dude, it's rain. Calm down.
Yep.
Yes, so, indeed.
So how long have you been an owner-operator with Coast?
So I've been in the business for around 10 years.
Okay.
And I have been a licensee for 4 of those 10, the last 10. And so I recently started my own company. So I went June.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a lot that goes into it, and I'm never going to grow as fast as I want to, but you have to take your organic growth.
Yes.
And you have to move with it, and you have to still stay on course and stay focused. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, when I left, I was in management. So all I, you know, for the most part, what I did was, you know, I ordered product. I kept our office stocked with products. And then the rest of the day, I picked out technicians, looked them up on GPS, and I followed them out, and I went on and I was on site, and I was talking to them, and we were going over different things, and you know, and I was with a technician, several of them, and you know, I'd have 1 week where, you know, I'd take a certain of them, let's go grab something to eat, you know, on me, and we'll go grab a little bite, and you know, just kind of show an appreciation. Or I'd show up with a bag of Powerade and some waters, you know, because that's a welcome sight on a hot day, right?
Yes.
And so that's what I kind of did. So now, you know, I'm used to being very, very busy and not having gaps in my day. And sometimes it gets a little annoying, you know, and that's when I start making posts like, hey, I'm feeling kind of lonely. Anybody need pest control?
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so that's kind of what it is. But yeah, it's only been a few months, and I've been extremely blessed and fortunate to have a lot of people in my corner that you know, believe in me, that build me up. And I thought that, you know, because you read other people's experiences, and I don't want to take, you know, if someone had a negative experience and it didn't work for them, I feel terrible for that. I don't think that's funny. So I'm not making fun of them, but you know, the guys that are out there that are like, hey man, keep pushing, keep doing your thing. It's not an overnight deal, but you know, make smart decisions, make smart money moves, always treat your customers great, always do top-notch service, and you'll grow. And I have, and nothing makes me happier than when someone gives me a call and I pick up a phone call and a customer said, you've made me feel so much better now. And I know you'll be here tomorrow or this evening, this afternoon, whatever, and I feel so much better now. Because that's the first thing I try to do is say, well, you know, it's okay. It's not that I kill German cockroaches all day long. It's really not a big deal. I know it's not fun to you, and it's very stressful, but I can take care of that. I promise. Yeah. You know, so anyway, that's a big deal. And I'm a big local guy, guys. I mean, I know you guys are friends with me on Facebook. I know Jenny's seen my posts. And mm-hmm. Candace has seen my post.
Yes.
And I'm actually friends with both of your spouses, by the way.
Jay.
Brandon. Okay. So Jay and I are friends on Facebook, and Brandon and I are friends on Facebook. And I'm a big family guy. I believe in the family unit. You know, my family survives off of what I put back into my local economy. And that's a big deal for me. And you may have seen my posts, but I don't donate to any, you know, golf courses or celebrity pro-ams or just a thing. I give back to schools. I give back to band organizations, athletic departments, and anything that has to do with that. If your kid's selling Girl Scout cookies, I'm going to buy probably about 10 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. Right. A, because Girl Scout cookies are good, and I'm a fat guy. And but B, it's going to support, you know. And look, hey, if your kid's coming around and selling, what do we have? A little girl selling bath bombs. And I said, ma'am, I'm not familiar with bath bombs. I know what they do, but I'm going to let you speak to my wife, and I'll let her pick some out, and I'll buy some bath bombs, you know, because I'll buy the wrong ones, and she won't like them. So yeah, it's all about just supporting your community. So, you know, your children, you both have children, right?
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, your children will be able to, you know, afford T-ball uniforms or Boy Scout badges or, you know, ballet lessons or, you know, whatever it may, gymnastics, you know, whatever it may be, or, you know, Girl Scouts. You know, there's a lot of different things going on right now. And so that's what my prime goal is support your local unit. I know you both work for, you know, local, Candace, you guys are the local, and yes. I know that Jenny works for a local provider, and that's wonderful. And I never saw, you know, when you're in a larger industry, you kind of got your little blinders on, right? Because you don't see. But I really started believing in that, because it makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I donated, and again, I'm not going to mention any names or anything. I'm not trying to, you know, toot my own horn here, but, you know, kids is outside, their color guard, they were trying to get new rifles, you know, they spin them in the air and everything like that. I gave them a good amount of money because that was important to me. Now, the company that I used to work for, I have never saw them give a dime back to the local community. And it doesn't mean that they don't donate. They may have a charity organization that they donate to, and that's fine. I never knew about it.
Yeah, right.
And I would have loved to have that, but you know, that's what your local guys are going to be. My banner's on the field at the local high school. My logo is on the basketball posters that are going to be printed out with the schedules on them. So, yeah,
that's
I love
awesome.
It. Yeah, that's I love cute. It. Yeah.
Yeah, we did that this year for my son's high school because my daughter's in college now because he does wrestling. So we did like the winter sports like brochures that they'll hand out.
Yeah.
We donated to that. Last year, his team went around a bunch of local businesses and were getting donations so they could get new singlets. And he came to me and he's like, Mom, are you going to donate it? And I handed him $500 and he was like, wait, what? I'm like, you guys need singlets. Why would I not? I mean,
yeah,
it's not even just for you. It's going to be for your team for years to come now, you know? And
right.
My daughter went to that school as well. I didn't because I didn't grow up here, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, it's like everything that I donate to now is literally local. I even donate services to a local, like a senior meals place. We don't do anything crazy. I don't treat anything, but we keep an eye to make sure they're not getting rodents inside their kitchen. They don't have a crazy amount of flies or ants or something.
Right.
You know, a few sticky traps, a few snap traps. We check it once a month. Good to go. Like, why would I charge for that? They're doing an amazing service to help the seniors and the disabled in my community. Why would I not help with that?
That's awesome. I love that.
It's great. It's great.
Candace, are you allowed to toot your own horn on the thingy thing?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I came for last year, though. They have... It's been for 3 years now. I've been open for four. So I've been open for 4 years. For the last 3 years, there's been a Toast of the South Coast. Like, people vote for their favorite businesses, local businesses. They're supposed to be local. Some of them are like, not. And you're going, what the fuck? But the very first year they did it, we didn't win anything. I didn't even know it existed. Last year, we got second place. And then we went again this year. And I don't know what's going on with it yet. We find out later. So, but we got second place last year, so I was super proud of that. Because like we're still super new, and there are numerous local companies here, and that's why I was shaking my head no at you when you're, or actually I think I was agreeing with you and you're saying that you're not really get close with like the other local guys there. They don't like me. Most of the guys here don't like me because, well, of what's in my pants apparently.
Right.
Or what's not in them, I guess.
I had a discussion. Jenny was explaining that out, and I just... Some people are so bizarre. I'll leave it there. I'll let you guys talk about that. That's just...
Oh, yeah.
I don't agree with that whatsoever. Just, what is wrong with you? You know? Why are you giving this person a hard time? Because she's a minority in our industry. And I used to ask people all the time, I said, why don't we have any female technicians? And they're like, none of them just apply, you know? And I was like, well, I wish they would. And then I got two, you know, and they did a great, and they got more Google reviews than half of the other guys did, and did it because they did a lot better. Not that the guys were doing bad, but you know, they were, you know how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, the other issue that the other owners here apparently have with me and Brandon is that, and I quote, we're too young to know what we're talking about. Yeah. I'm like, we're in our 40s. What are you talking about? Brandon's been doing this, well, this coming April will be his 10 years that he's been doing it, albeit it's not as long as these other guys, whatever, but what the hell does that even matter? I've been doing it for 4 years, and I'm sorry, I have a license to some of these guys' technicians that don't, so just eat it. Yeah, because we don't have to wait the 4 years like you do in Alabama or Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is very cool that you kind of have to wait.
That is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool to, like, make sure. But, yeah, around here, like, you can literally just pick up the book, study it, and go take your test.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be working with a company, I don't think. You can just get one. I know you can do, like, private applicator, so you can do, like, your own home. But use like our chems, and I'm like, at least you have a license. But
they do that out here, but it's mostly farmers.
Yeah,
you know, and farmers are allowed to go and do their own ag work without license because, you know, if they had to pay somebody, it would be very exorbitant, right? So they do their own. You know, you're trying to do this, and I don't know a whole lot about the agricultural side and crops and stuff. So I don't know. It's not my bag, but I don't want anything to do with somebody that's going to eat it. So you need to find somebody that does, you know?
Yep. I get that. Cause I did greenhouse growing and I had to go through that, and it's not fun to have to be like, I'd rather take care of structures. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I get the people that are like, oh, can you spray my lawn? I mean, I can spray so many feet out into it. That's about it. I don't have a lawn or ornamental. Don't want
or
one.
A mosquito. Yeah.
Yeah. Well guys, don't fog.
Oh, you don't? Yeah. Well, yeah, close. And I do fogging and with a mosquito blower, and I use the IntoCare system. Mm-hmm. I find it very beneficial. There are a couple of accounts that I have that they only have IntoCare, which is perfectly fine with me. Uh-huh. That's what they want. They, you know, decided not to. So I do the IntoCare. And, you know, people are always going to knock what is not right in front of them and evidence that's right in front of them. And so I understand that. And in our business, the old adage is liquid versus baits when it comes to termites, you know, and guys will argue those down. And I'm not even going to get into that because I do what makes me feel comfortable. And that's what I'm going to do. And you do what you do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with either of them. But anyway, but the thing that I found the most that, and I'm sure that Candace and Jenny can attest to, is that I get more business from referrals.
Yes.
Ask every single person that calls me, how did you hear about me? Because I'm part of like 50 of those little, what's happening in this town, or, you know, this or that, toast of the town, Ocean Springs, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And once a week, generally, I'll post something on there and I may get one call.
Right.
And nobody ever likes it or does anything. You know, half of those things are just, they're business to business, they're peer to peer shares. And so It's just like all we're doing is just like showing off everything that we do and nobody's buying.
Right.
But I do that. The thing that I've learned here recently, even while I've started doing paid ads, I have a new guy that's handling marketing for me, and he's doing paid ads. He's doing going to be taking over some of the Facebook ads. We're slowing down on the Facebook ads. I had somebody that was doing a daily, and sometimes people get a little irritated by that. They don't want to see your bug guy every single day. I mean, even though it was like, you know, happy fall and, you know, yeah, this and that, right, you want to be kind of careful how you expose yourself. And because, you know, you don't want maybe like two or three times a week.
Yeah.
But yeah, the guy, Trevor Reed, he's taking care of it. And I'll tell you guys, I've had him for 2 weeks. And I know I'm probably way off topic, or maybe I moved to another topic, but I've had him for 2 weeks. And that little video that I put out of me walking and shaking the person's hand had gotten over 1,000 views. 1,000 views. That's crazy to me, right?
That's awesome.
Because, you know, I've never gotten more than 15 likes on something that I've done, right? And so, yeah. So, I mean, that made a lot of difference. And he changed my webpage around. And I noticed that you and Brandon, Candace, you guys use some sort of answering system or app or something like that. I saw that thing where someone was asking about a shirt or whatever.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing.
I went to use an M1. I don't know if you've ever seen the M1 ads that are on there, but they answer your phone. This thing cloned my voice. I had to read a couple paragraphs of, you know, words that are essentially, and it cloned my voice. So if you call my phone and I press the decline button, it'll go on and it's like, thank you for calling Coast Pest Control. And I'm like, that's me, bro. And
I love
and,
it.
Yeah. So anyhow, yeah. But the word of mouth and referrals, I always ask, how'd you hear about it? Well, this guy I used to work with, he did a review for you and I really trust him. And he said that you were awesome. And I'm like, nice. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. And I got a call today, and I haven't done this in a little while. I'm going to have to sharpen my chops because I got to go over there on Monday. But she is claiming to have squirrels entering her eaves soffits. And I said, okay, well, I can come and repair that and make it to where they can't. No, sir, you don't understand. They're vinyl. It's vinyl material, and they're literally chewing through it to access it again. And I said, well, there's got to be pups in there then, because the only time I know that an animal would chew through something is if they have babies.
Yeah.
And it's one of the narrow areas, you know, it goes like this and, you know, let me see if I can get myself, you know, and you got to climb yourself in there. But I'm gonna go take a look. I'm gonna do some one-way trapping, buy a couple of those. And, you know, she said the last guy came in, oh God. And he said that he was going to use some sort of track tape or something, like rollout tape that you like roll out a glue strip type deal. I guess you put on like floors at warehouses. And he was going to catch these squirrels on these sticky fruit roll-ups or whatever they are, right? And then just ball them up and throw them in the trash and just let them die. And she was like, you don't do that, do you? And I said, absolutely not. I do live catches only. I don't do any conibear traps, you know, the old thing, you step in the middle and it clamps. I don't do any of that stuff, but you know, there's some other things and some deterrents, but I can't believe this guy did that. Told her that, because she was absolutely disgusted. She said,
I was gonna say, yeah.
She said, please don't tell me you kill these animals. And I said, I don't, not squirrels.
No,
definitely. I mean, not a fruit roll-up way.
Sticky trap.
It's like, apparently it's this big rolled out thing. It's like a sticky board, sticky pad, and they just roll them everywhere. And when the squirrels get in it, they get stuck, and then they roll around in it, and then the next thing you know is...
And then they
sit
there and suffer, and no. No.
Some people are so nasty.
Sticky pads are not for mammals.
No.
I told her that, and I said, I don't even use glue boards for rodents. Now, I will feed them rodenticide, and I'll feed them soft, hard, and liquid rodenticide. I have all of them, and because they have disease, they destroy your home. There's a lot of different things that go into rodents, and you know, in a society where we need to make sure that we are at the top of the food chain, you can't eliminate all of your controls. In the rare instance, you got a secondary poisoning. Sometimes that happens, guys. When you're using anticoagulants, sometimes that's going to happen. But do you understand how rare it is?
It's super rare.
It's super rare. You know, and people see these videos of the birds that are sick. That owl that was sick. Somebody said it wasn't that the whole owl video where he's kind of stumbling and he falls over, barn owl.
Yeah.
They said that that animal hit the side of a building and that's, mm-hmm. and it was injured from that. It wasn't injured. They just said it was from rodenticides. So yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the same.
It's propaganda. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the same. It was either a fox or a coyote that got, like, UC Berkeley did a thing on it saying, yeah. you know, oh, it died from the rodenticide, blah, 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 just because there was, like, a small amount of anticoagulant in its blood, but mm-hmm. so small that it didn't even matter. They, you know, decided to not, you know, let out the information that the goddamn thing was hit by a truck. That's why it died. Had nothing to do with the anticoagulant in it. But it's like,
I stopped.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
Jenny, you were mentioning, and I wanted to ask you about this mm-hmm. because you had made a post. Was it you that made a post or did you comment on it? But the guy that was talking about, or yourself, about your customer's friend requesting you on Facebook, was that you or did you just... add to it.
I added to it. Yep. And I agreed with your comment, I believe, where it was like, that's a good thing that they see us. But yeah, I commented on that one. But I have had, when I worked for the new term is Gherkin. When I worked for Gherkin, I would like go service a commercial account. And then later that day get like a friend request from the like the receptionist. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
But I do utilize my Facebook more as like a business type. It's, I don't say business because I'm not running a business, but it's like networking. So it's just like
networking.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Be my friend. Because I've pretty much changed all my posts to being public where they used to be private too. Just because as I'm making these videos and stuff, Jasmine Pest Pro has really inspired me that these videos really catch wind and it'll help you meet more people. Just meet more people, meet more clients and stuff. So it is kind of cool when a client does find you on Facebook. I think it's creepy in a sense if you do utilize your Facebook very privately. Like I know there's people who do prefer. Yeah. Like if you're posting pictures of your kids and stuff and you don't want random people, you know.
Yeah. I am very, very picky on who enters my Facebook.
Yep.
Super picky.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. And whatever you feel as a mom, a mother of young children, there are so many weirdos.
Yeah,
I'll be fairly nice, but there's so many weirdos out there and so many stories of, you know, crazy things. But you're right. I actually go out of my way to friend request a lot of my customers if they pop up. Yeah. And the reason why, and I've had to kind of, I won't necessarily say tone it down because I never have been an over the top guy, but sometimes I'll have to be a little bit more diplomatic about things. Whereas before it was kind of like, this is my opinion. I don't care.
Yeah.
And now I do.
Yes. That is me, especially with politics. Like I tiptoe around it completely on Facebook just because people can so quickly become so divided or just like hack you from their life from one little thing you say. So it's just like,
I'm not a political guy anyway. Yeah, and you know, take it for what it's worth. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I'm not a politically minded person. And I'm not gonna say anything negative for or against it. I'm just not. It just doesn't interest me. And with those things, but there is an ongoing thing here locally in Ocean Springs where a local artist, he is a tattoo artist, and he is one of the premier tattoo artists here on the coast. He does this certain style, which I'm not familiar with. It has a name of it, but he's really, really good. And he has his own studio, but he put up a presidential political flag defaming one of the parties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been on the daggum news for the past 2 weeks. What is he going to do with he stretched it across a privacy fence. I'm like, so?
Yeah, right.
I mean, if he doesn't mind losing business because of how people feel, then that's his choice. I don't care. Yeah, right. There's people that put it. And again, I'm not going to get into details because I don't want it to be, but
right.
I could personally care less, man. Is that. Yeah. Does that make you feel happy to do that? Then great. Okay.
Yeah. That was with my recent shenanigans on Facebook, if anybody is on my friends list, is that a political statement made against the NPMA sparked a huge argument that in the very get-go, the group's rules were no politics. Yep. So it's just like, it's just friggin' fireball drama stupidness. So yeah, people can't act right when they
people
up,
be peopling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had, as I was mentioning before, I had two ladies assigned to my area that I was a manager for. And one of them went out, and they're both very diverse. Like, I mean, they weren't, you know, anybody cookie cutter. Don't get me wrong. Right. But, and I got a call from our office and it said, hey, can you call this gentleman back? Sure. Call him. And he said, you know, I just don't believe that this lady is going to do as good of a job as the guy that usually comes here. And I said, did she do something wrong? Or is there a complaint here?
Right.
And no, I just, you know, anyway, it was just this and that, you know, it was a bunch of things. And I said, that technician is trained the same way that the others are trained. And there's nothing that she can't do. She passed all the qualifications. She can lift a heavy item that, you know, that we require. She can climb in the back of the truck. She can do this. She can do why, right. Sir? Because of her gender? Because you feel like this is a man's territory? I couldn't disagree with you more, sir. No. I'll be honest with you. I value your business. However, if you don't want my technician to come back to your house because she's a female and you want a male technician, that's the same way if someone said, I don't want a Hispanic technician to come to my house. Yeah. I'd rather a Caucasian. It's the same group to me. Then I don't really want your business. I mean, yep. Because I can't, you know, and that takes a lot to throw away business like that. That's a big deal. But as sometimes you have to, when it comes to racist and the whole racism thing, somebody does that, they're gone. Yeah. Cut them off. Send them a contract back. Tell them we no longer are going to service you. Best wishes. Good luck. I hope it works out for you. But, you know, I really feel the same way about someone being judgmental towards our lady techs, our female techs, our estrogen techs.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't really matter. I've seen, anyway, could talk about it till I'm blue in the face, but the argument does not hold weight. Okay. Yeah. So sorry about that.
No. Your leadership style reminds me a lot of Jen McIntosh. You sound like you were a really good boss.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Just sticking up for your people, going out and bringing them stuff. And that sounds so, so Jen. And I love it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Pest control really needs good leaders out there. And now you're leading your own thing.
We are. And I would love to have it. I would love to have it. And guys, you guys are awesome. I just wanted to tell you that your acceptance and having me here and just to chit chat and talk, and we're kind of all over the place, and I'm fine with that. But I really so appreciate you all inviting me on, and, you know, just to talk and say, hey, and invite me to the community. It's a real treat. And I enjoy seeing you guys post, and I always am going to comment on them. Not anything bad. I thought somebody was being mean to you and told you they don't want you at their house because you're a female. And I was like, hell no, I'm coming over. What are you? I'm That's like, awesome. Come on. But, you know, but anyway, I'm very grateful. I'm grateful to be your colleague. I'm grateful. I reached out to both of you this past week and asked you a couple of where do you buy or what do you do, and for me, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, you help each other, and so yeah, I appreciate that.
There's no reason to like not help with something like that. Like, you had a simple question for me: how would you do this, what would you do, blah blah blah. I told you how I would do it. Just because that's how I do it doesn't mean that's how you're going to end up doing it, or how Jenny does it, or how anybody else does it. But even just bouncing ideas off of people can help, you know, reform your idea, because maybe you're missing that one key thing and you just can't think of it. And then you get another person's idea and you go, that's what it is, that's what I forgot to do, that's why it's not working. Yes. And then it helps.
Yes, the networking is incredible. I love it.
Yes, the hiding the trade secret thing. I don't get
right.
I could be your little guy behind the scenes, your little production assistant for the Pestergen podcast. Ron's right back there. Say hi. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Yeah. So now you guys are great. I want you to continue to kick ass. I want you to continue to put yourself out there. And you know, we all learn every day. I don't know everything. I'll be honest with you.
No.
I know a lot of stuff, but I don't know everything, you know? And I think if you're always open to learning and learning a different technique and seeing a different technique or something totally altogether, I think that makes you a better, you know, it makes you better as a person because you're always willing to see something else and do something else. So we're going to have stuff that we do every single time, no matter what somebody tells us to, because that's fine, but always leave yourself open. And, you know, you guys kick ass, you get out there, you take care of business, you're getting great reviews, you're exposing your companies, you and your husband's company, you and your boss. And I think that's wonderful. The relationship you have with your boss and all the staff there, that's what it's really about, guys. It's not about always sitting around and complaining. And as pest technicians, we can do a lot of that, right?
Yeah.
It's good to know that, you know what? But I work for a damn fine place.
Yes.
And it's a lot of fun. And the people here make it fun. And they treat me well. They treat me with respect. They treat me as an equal. And that's what matters.
Yes. Yep. And our niche is super special. Speaking of, I don't know if you've ever heard, but Tony Spangler tumblers. Oh, my background. This is actually my boss's tumbler, and it's a Liquitox one.
I love it.
I know, right?
I use Liquitox.
The first time I ever saw Liquitox be used, it was with a employee who I read him the label on the drive over, and he didn't dilute it. He just poured the packet straight into, and I was like, dude, I read you the label. Here, read the label. Yeah, it was awful. So every time I look at this, I think like,
Jesus.
I'm waiting for my cheese bag little signs to come in. I ordered,
yes.
And Brad said that they were on their way, and whenever they get here, it's fine.
Yes. But
it was funny because we were in the airport and my wife looked over at me and she saw someone with one of those handcrafted tumblers like that. And she said, I want to get some of those like that made. And I said, yeah, me too. And I said, wait a minute, there's a guy that actually does the ones for pest control.
Yes.
Yeah. And they do more than just pest control things.
Sure. Sure.
And like his wife does like amazing, like very like girly type of things. She's into like super Halloween ones right now. But yeah, it's spanglerart.com. You can get tumblers made. His wife, Leanne, also does like coasters and pens and like the topper pieces for like the Stanley cups. And they do so many different things and it's all customizable. They do it for you. They've done like graduation ones.
Yes.
Where they have like the kids' pictures on there, their graduating year, all this stuff. They're awesome. And you can do real pictures, as me and Jenny have some of us. You can do AI pictures. You don't even have to have an idea. You can just free throw and at Tony and be like, hey, this is kind of the idea-ish that I had. And he'll come up with something and go back and forth with you on, hey, do you like this? You need anything changed? Yada, yada. It's great. And they're a good price. They're super high quality, double wall. So you keep your hot stuff hot or your cold stuff cold during the summer here, which we don't get super hot. But, you know, the inside of a car still gets hot no matter what. And the inside of my car is black. But I had this filled with ice and then cold brew in it, drank all the cold brew, still had probably like 3/4 cup of ice in it. So
that's
then
awesome.
I just dumped a bottle of water in it and then I had ice water for the rest of the day.
I jotted down in my notes right there, the Spangler set. And I want to get a couple of those. Yes. It's funny how it's got to kind of be in our industry. I saw a meme not too long ago on a site. I can't remember which one, but it said faith, family, Fipronil. And I thought that would be so cool to get on a cup. And I was like, nobody would know what I was talking about.
Nope. Except other pest techs. They'd be like,
They'd be like, yeah, dude. Yeah. But like anybody else, they'd be like, okay,
what the hell is Fipronil?
That's great. Yeah.
Some of the guys, I love some of the dad jokes and guys like that. They still think some of the dad jokes are funny, you know, like that one guy that no matter what you're putting out there, what do you guys treat for this? And that one guy's always going to put Termidor, you know, and you're just like, Yeah,
Oh,
or it's like somebody says, anybody, can anybody tell me what this is? One of the
it's a
bug
brown
ID,
recluse.
and yeah, a brown recluse, or it's like it's a bug.
Oh,
And
that's what.
I actually have one of those little picture finders for bugs on my phone. It costs me like $5 a month, and it's worth it. It's worth it
No,
because
Brandon
I
will do
mean.
that to me. He'll show me a picture of something that somebody has posted for an ID, and he'll show it to me, and he's like, "What is that?" And it'll be like 10 o'clock at night, and I'll look over at his phone, and I'm like, "That's a bug." That's
That's
it.
a bug. I love the ones on the little Facebook sites where people are asking, is I just went camping this weekend. I'm afraid it's a bed bug. I'm like, man, that is it's not a bed bug. I said, based on the antennae, it's a beetle of some sort. Now I'm not sure exactly which one it is, but it only eats leaves. I promise. It's not gonna eat your skin. But you know, and I'll do things like that. And someone's like, I think I got bed bugs. What is this? I'm like, it's a beetle. It's a grape beetle. It's a, like a grapevine beetle or something, if you want to be exact. But I usually try not to get too deep into that because I'm just like, it's a beetle. The little nodes say that it's a beetle. That's it. It's not a bed bug. If you knew what a bed bug really looked like, and we all do, right? Bed bug is like, bed bug. You know, they're pretty distinct. But somebody shows something like that and says, this is a bed bug. It's like, no.
No.
Yeah,
Hey,
that's
Jenny.
funny.
Damn it. Thank you, Ron, for joining us today. It's been so much fun.
Yes.
Yes.
It has
You're a
been.
blast.
Thank you so much. I'd love to come back if you guys ever need a spare. I'd be happy to come back.
Absolutely.
But I'm very proud of you guys on this podcast, and I have had a chance. I just want to tell you to listen to a few episodes from in their entirety, and they're all really great.
Aw,
So there's a lot of
thank
really
you.
cool stuff in there, and it's fun to talk to, you know, to talk somebody else talks your language, right?
Yes,
They
thank
speak your
you.
love language.
Exactly. Pesty, pesty
That's right.
besties. Yeah.
Pesties for life.
That's right. There we go.
There you go.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to another episode of Pestergen Podcasts.
Always remember to be you, be cute, and go out and kick some ass.
Yeah, kick some ass.
Bye.